Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. In about 10 minutes, we're expecting President Obama's speech on jobs from the Brookings Institution. Advanced reports are indicating that the president will list three key priorities for targeted investment, steps to help small businesses hire more people, an additional investment in the national infrastructure, and a new program to provide rebates for consumers who retrofit our homes to become more energy efficient. So we will bring you the president's job speech live, expected in about 10 minutes. In the meantime, you may remember my next guest from the YouTube sensation that she caused almost 4 years ago. She is known as that Muslim woman on Al Jazeera. She is Wafa Sultan, a Syrian-born American psychiatrist who caused a firestorm in the Arab world for the interview she gave on Al Jazeera TV on February 21st, 2006. She spoke candidly at that time about her views on the failure of Islam and the oppression perpetrated by Muslim regimes around the world. So just a little bit of her Arabic, in which she said it is a clash between freedom and oppression, between democracy and dictatorship. And she says the current conflicts in the Middle East and around the world are not clashes over religion or civilization. They are clashes between freedom and oppression, between democracy and civilization. And now she has written a book, A God Who Hates, The Courageous Woman Who Inflamed the Muslim World Speaks Out Against the Evils of Islam. Wafa Sultan, Dr. Sultan, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you so much. I'm here, sir.
The first line of the book is, most Muslims, if not all of them, will condemn me to death when they read this book. Do you really believe that?
Absolutely, I do.
Because?
Because they don't know how to defend themselves when I speak the truth.
Defend themselves? You mean there's no answer to what you're saying?
They have no answer.
What are you saying?
I am saying the problem is with Islam, is not with the way people understand Islam. The problem is deeply rooted in the Islamic teachings.
So to go deeper into that, you're saying it's not that Muslims distort the teachings of Islam, because I'll tell you that if we had time for phone calls, and unfortunately we don't because the president's going to speak any minute, but I could fill our phone board with dozens of our Muslim listeners who would say, no, Islam is about love, and these horrible jihadists who distort the teaching to launch attacks or to support dictatorships, they're distorting Islam. You know people believe that.
Yeah, that's what I say, and that's what they say. And I believe your responsibility is to find the truth. I'm telling you, just open their books and read it and face them with your questions.
Open their books, meaning the Quran?
Yes, the Quran and the Sunnah books. Read the life of Muhammad, and then you will be able to reach your own personal conclusion.
You are hailed as both a... Well, do you want to give us an example?
The way Muhammad had treated women. It is a very good example. The way Muhammad had treated people who didn't believe in him. He beheaded 800 men in one night. And it is written in our school books. I read this story when I was 8 years old. And you're telling me Islam is the religion of peace?
When did you develop this perspective? Was it as a child?
Yes, of course.
When
I came to the United States and I was exposed to different culture, you know, I have consciously decided to progress beyond my teachings.
Would you hold similar views about other traditional religions?
you know, I don't know much about other religions. I'm trying, you know, to clean my own house. I was born and raised as a Muslim. I know much about Islam because it is my own religion, or it was my own religion.
And you don't see some of the Islamic practices as based in cultural differences, like women covering themselves? You see this as a sign of a sick society where women are trained to cover a body they were told would lead men astray. Do you encounter women who feel that this is maybe more of an Arab practice than a Muslim practice, or that there are cultural differences here?
But you need to understand that Islam is Arabic religion. And in the Arab world, you cannot differentiate between Islam and Arab culture. But you might be able to do that when you go to non-Arab Muslims country, like let's take Iran as an example,
mm-hmm.
or Turkey. People there still have their pre-Islamic culture. Yes, I do. But when it comes to the Arab world, absolutely, we have no culture but the Islamic culture. Islam has become our identity.
In the interview on Al Jazeera, you say that the clashes in the world right now are, quote, a clash between a mentality that belongs to the Middle Ages and another mentality that belongs to the 21st century. It is a clash between human rights on the one hand and the violation of these rights on the other hand. It is a clash between those who treat women like beasts and those who treat them like human beings, unquote.
Exactly. That's what I still believe in.
So what, in your opinion, should the West do?
I believe the West needs to know the true face of Islam and stand up against the Islamic political ideology.
In what ways?
You need to know what's going on inside the mosques here. You just get in and see what they're teaching their children. They're giving birth to terrorists here inside the United States. Islam is trying to infiltrate our school system, including universities.
When you say infiltrate universities, what do you mean by that?
I believe, you know, they are trying to teach Islam the way they want you to know about Islam, not the truth about Islam.
Listeners, let's try to see if we can get some calls in, because we don't know how on time the president is going to be. One thing about George W. Bush, if he said he was giving an 11:15 speech, he gave an 11:15 speech. Not true with Barack Obama. So we will see if this speech starts about jobs in 2 minutes as scheduled at the Brookings Institution, or maybe it's going to be another 5 minutes or another 10 minutes. But we'll see. So Muslim listeners, if you want to call and dialogue about your religion with Wafa Sultan, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Call right up, and we will put you right on. What alternative do you suggest our Muslim listeners look at? Other religions or atheism or secular life? Do you offer an alternative?
I offer human values and freedoms. I would love one day to see all Muslims are free to look at alternatives and to be free to choose. That's my main goal, is give them the freedom to look and to choose.
Let me just try a phone line here. Amiz, is it, in Yorktown Heights? You're on WNYC. Hello. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? All right, maybe not. Let's try another line. Forgive me. Hi, you're on the air. Who's this? All right, let's try Hussein in Queens. I think Hussein's ready to go. Hi, Hussein.
Yes, sir, your old follower. I only want to give you some facts. Kindly ask this lady that Muhammad was the first prophet who married a widow. So that tells that how he respects the ladies. Islam is the first religion who gave inheritance right to a mother, to a daughter, and to a sister. Islam was the first religion who made it mandatory on the rich that they should contribute something to, and it is 1400 years ago. Mr. Brian, I have no problem. You bring these individuals. She said she was Muslim. She believed in Islam. So kindly give a chance to those individuals. I have a master's degree in international affairs. You never allow me to give me a chance. If you go at this moment on muslimmediaandby.org, you can find my articles. Why these individuals who are against Judaism, who are against Christianity, who are against Islam, they get a platform on your radio program? Why you don't bring those individuals who believe in Christianity, who believe in Judaism, who believe in Islam?
We have a variety of voices here. We just had Byron Pitts yesterday talking about his committed Christian faith, just as one example. But you also need to give voice to internal critics, as I said at the beginning. But Dr. Sultan, do you want to respond to Hussein?
Of course, I'm not against any religion but Islam, because simply I don't know about other religion. I know about Islam. And this man has no problem with Islam, because as a man, he had the upper hand. You know, he's saying Muhammad was the first prophet to give women rights. And I tell you what Muhammad said about women. He said, a woman is nothing but shame. Her husband will cover up one-tenth of her shame, and her grave will cover up the rest of it. Muhammad, as a married man, raped Aisha when she was 9. He was 54. Muhammad, as a married man, raped his son's wife. And the very first night, he forced his son to leave her for him. Muhammad, as a married man, raped the woman, Safiya. And the very same day, he killed her husband, her father, and her brother. And he's telling me Muhammad was the first prophet to give women rights.
Hussein, go ahead.
Madam, I told Mr. Brian, Islam was the first religion who gave, 1400 years ago, who gave the inheritance to the daughter. For example, you said, I am a man, I have an upper hand. I have 4 sisters, ma'am, and I love them more than my 5 brothers.
Your sister under Islamic Sharia gets half what you get. If you don't know it, then you don't know anything about Islam. Tell me how much your sister inherits compared to what you inherit.
You are exactly right. It is not equal. But kindly tell me, 1400 years ago, which ism gave the right to a woman to inherit? And second thing, 1400 years ago, Muhammad gave the right to a woman to divorce her husband.
What kind of rights if she cannot choose her own husband? What kind of right if she cannot ask for divorce? What kind of right if she cannot gain the custody of her children?
Dr. Sultan,
and her husband can divorce her anytime without a question asked.
And Hussein, thank you for your call. Let me follow up on what I think he was saying there, which is that Muhammad lived 1,400 years ago. If you go to some of the rules in the Jewish or Christian Bibles, you'll find some of those rules of their time, too, and have gradually been dispelled with in many particular cases. So maybe now Islam in the current world, depending on what country you're in, what culture you're in, there are no inheritance rules for Muslims that are widely followed in the black Muslim community in the United States, for example, things like that. So why go to that practice of 1,400 years ago as the be-all and the end-all?
You know, because the Quran said Muhammad is the role model for every Muslim man, and the Quran said Islam is to be applied at every time and in every place. And Muslims believe Quran is the absolute word of God, and they cannot change the meaning of God's words.
Dawn, and my guest, if you're just joining us, is Wafa Sultan, the Syrian-born psychiatrist living in the United States since 1988, I think I have that right?
Yes.
Author now of A God Who Hates, The Courageous Woman Who Inflamed the Muslim World, Speaks Out Against the Evils of Islam. She first became famous for her critique of the religion that she grew up in on Al Jazeera in 2006, and now she has a book. And Dawn in Bedford-Stuyvesant, you're on WNYC. Hello, Dawn.
Yes, hello. Hi. Thanks for having me
You're welcome.
I'm African-American, and I was born into a Muslim family. My father became Muslim when he was 14. And, you know, I really find these problems with women who were born in Muslim, quote-unquote, countries like Syria, like Jordan and so forth. They have a problem with separating Islam and their culture. I'm African-American. I have a lot of my family are Christian. We get along very well. We have a family church. We go there and we visit. And the thing is, they don't have a lot of things that they can talk about in terms of their culture. Like, I can talk about, like, Stevie Wonder being an awesome guy. He's African-American. He's part of my culture. But Islam is just a guidance for how I should live my life. I chose my own husband. I didn't get married until I was, like, 30. And I inherit what I inherit from my husband. He's like, listen, this is the guideline, but I can give you as much money as I want to. See, the thing is, they don't separate their culture from Islam. And a lot of those practices that she's talking about, some of those practices are just inherent in the Arab culture. They did those before Islam. You know, a person who comes on and talks about hate, you know, how can they have respect for anybody in their belief system, whether they're Christians, whether they're Jews, which I believe Islam says to be respectful of everybody's belief system, because everybody's not going to believe like you do. The thing is, we should strive, whatever our religious philosophical belief is, to get along with everybody. But she's just spouting a lot of hate about Islam. Of course, every religious belief has some issues. But as human beings, what we should be trying to do is using the good things about those religion, philosophies to try to work together as one culture and one human race.
Dr. Sultan,
getting on and sprouting hate talk and this guy raped this person. I can point out things about Ferdinand and Isabella. I'm African American. Who do you think up the slave trade? But I don't go around talking to my Spanish friends, like, you know, from Spain and Barcelona, like, oh my gosh, your people did this. I'm like, no, that happened then. That was culturally relevant then. Instead of sprouting so much hate, maybe she should work to uplift Muslim women in those countries mm-hmm. who don't have rights, because they never really did have rights during the time of the Prophet, after the Prophet, and they come here and they see all the rights we have as Muslim women. And some people bring their, you know, crazy culture ideologies here, Muslim or otherwise, but doesn't mean you have to give in to them.
So,
but you can't just keep sprouting hate talk. This doesn't solve any problems that she's having.
Dawn, stay there. Wafa Sultan, do you and Dawn find any common ground here, do you think?
It is easy for this lady to say what she said because she's living under the American Constitution. And
no,
she is protected by the American law. And she wants me to fight for women's rights in my country without talking about Islam. You cannot solve any problem until you reach the root of the problem. This lady, in order to understand what I am saying, she would have to be a woman who lived for 30 years under Islamic Sharia. Mm.
Last question, Dr. Sultan. Do you now practice any other religion?
No, I don't. I believe in God, but I don't practice any specific religion.
Wafa Sultan, psychiatrist, living in the United States, born in Syria, the author of a book now, A God Who Hates, The Courageous Woman Who Inflamed the Muslim World, speaks out against the evils of Islam, known in the Muslim world for her appearance that sparked so much controversy on Al Jazeera a couple of years ago and now has led to this book. Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, President Obama's Jobs Address, next.